May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 1030. Lord, what a wretched, wretched heart I feel from day to day, vile and unsound in every part. Subdue it, Lord, I pray. Hymn 1030.
Help us to read in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. We read a part of Hebrews, chapter 12. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loose, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed, and sought out, and set in order many proverbs. There's much of Christ in that verse. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished, of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good, whether it be evil. We turn to the epistle, to the Hebrews, chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Verse 18. We are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burn with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness, and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated, that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not, who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape, if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, or hold fast, it says, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. The Lord bless his word. Amen. Lord, do help us now to truly approach with reverence and godly fear. Thou art a God that is so great in thy holiness. And we pray that we may have some gracious understanding in our hearts to whom we come. If unto whom the angels bow their faces down, hide their faces, and the reverence that belongeth unto thy house, thou art a consuming fire. Lord, do help us to come, pleading that name which is so needful. And we are unworthy. And Lord, that is the way we come, unworthy. Nothing to bring, no merit in our coming, no merit in us. In pleading that name, it must be all in Christ. Or may grace abound. Lord, leave us not to think we are better in ourselves, but may we know the merits of Christ to our heart and soul and our profession and our little lot Oh, may the Lord be pleased to come where sinners are. And we feel, O Lord, so insufficient. And we feel, O Lord, so lame and guilty and ruined. May the Lord come. Remember us, Lord, as we seek to plead the merits of thy precious blood, Lord Jesus, that we are guilty. We would plead, Lord, that holiness, oh, what a blessing. Lord, impart it, we pray. And remember us as we gather round thy word, open the book. Be with us, Lord, hear the prayer. But the people, Lord, that have come, and there may be some that need this specially, for each case and each need. Remember, Lord, all in the path of tribulation, bereavement, affliction, those, Lord, that are older, we pray earnestly, Lord, that thou wilt break through the clouds and grant sweet knowledge and thy blessing and sanctify infirmities. We pray, Lord, for those that have children, the little ones, and those families represented. We pray, Lord, for those not here, and seek that thou wilt remember us with thy presence. And Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And Lord, do remember us in our desire that we may dip our foot in oil and be made acceptable unto the brethren. We need the oil of thy grace, and we need the pouring in. We need thee, Lord, to be with a few poor sinners. And take not thy Holy Spirit from us. We pray for the church and the people. Long have we thought there is a bond, and we pray that thou bless the churches, and grant, O Lord, that there may be thy blessing attending thy word, and thou grant our heart's desire. Lord, remember those that carry burdens. May the burden bearer be coming. Lord, that would be our mercy. And grant that burdens may be cast upon thee. Lord, in the worship of thy great name, a little sweet rejoicing that the burden bearer has been among his people, and not one burden too many for him. But those, Lord, that wait upon thee, do grant the desires of their heart, and remember those that are older, and some, Lord, that have gone astray. Lord, we could also be numbered among them, but for thy grace. And there is hope for any. Lord, we pray for Zion, that thou art come, blessed Spirit of truth, thy quickening power. Lord, do grant the light and the sweet truth made known in sinners' hearts. Some may say we have seen strange things today. Or there may be, Lord, those that have said it is good for us to be here. Lord, remember, we pray thee, our land, have mercy upon us. And, O Lord, do help us to thank thee for deliverances and for thy mercies, but remember us still. O Lord, what fearful things are in the earth. We pray, Lord, that thou be with thy people everywhere. The Lord knoweth them that are his. But we pray, Lord, that there may be peace where there is war and bloodshed. And, oh, grant that thy kingdom may come. And, oh, Lord, do help us now to come and see the thankful heart that we are. Yes, on praying ground, thy mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. Thou art still that God that is known in thy word. I will do that these things, I will do it for them. And thou art able, Lord, to answer even the burden of a sigh, or the falling of a tear, whether it's prayer. And Lord, so weak perhaps, and yet thou dost know the heart, and be with us. May Christ be precious. And Lord, do come where we are, and do grant there may be the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We pray for any in this special trouble. And we say, Lord, that thou help us to acknowledge thee in all our ways. Lord, we do pray for thy gracious help in hearing and speaking. Or may there be a little sweet flowing together. May the Lord grant that, oh, how we depend on the Spirit, and do grant, O Lord, a little sweet going in the tops of the mulberry trees. And there may be, Lord, that preparation for eternity. And Lord, we may be set down a little, oh, in the truth by thy grace. We fear, Lord, to come and need thee to remember us with the favour thou bearest unto thy people, and visit us with thy salvation. We would plead that worthy, prevailing name, and come, Lord, where we are, and hear us, and when thou hearest, forgive, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1069. See, Lord, before thy throne of grace, a wretched wanderer mourn. Thyself hast bid me seek thy face, thyself hast said, return. Hymn 1069.
So Lord, may help me. I will direct you this evening to the epistle to the Hebrews chapter 12. We read the first three words in verse 2, and we read verse 3. Looking unto Jesus, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Oh, it is very, very clear from the scriptures there were so many, a countless number. We read of them as a cloud of witnesses. So many that have been brought by the Lord himself, who is the author of all true and living faith, and the finisher too, to be found looking unto Jesus. What an exceeding precious word it is. How many times it has been preached. How we need still such a word as this. Looking unto Jesus with that great cloud of witnesses, those that the Lord has quickened into life and brought to a saving knowledge of themselves, and especially the dear Redeemer, brought to a saving knowledge of their need of Christ. And then brought to look upon him, and even to consider him by sweet and precious faith, enlarging, granting those sacred views of the dear Redeemer, that fresh knowledge of him, those sweet glories that are contained in those words, Emmanuel, God with us. In that last chapter of Ecclesiastes, it could be said that we read of the cloud of witnesses in age and infirmity. We read of man going to his long home, the things that come, things that will come. The saints of God are not exempt, that they are poor sinners, and the earthly tabernacle that must come down. Friends, have we got anything in our hearts over against that solemn day of dismission from this earth, when we shall, if God tarry, as the dust is spoken of here, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the Spirit unto God who gave it. What vital realities. Friends, we do need to be delivered from anything of the earth. Therefore, we must leave all here, that may in our hearts there be some knowledge of him. The subject matter of our text. Then we read of the great preacher, even Christ, that sought to find out those acceptable words, those parables. And the Lord makes the parables known to the disciples. And friends, that is how the Lord does bless his people, that they're taught by the Spirit to know the truth and to feel it too. May it be so. Not just the letter, but some knowledge perhaps contained in these words, looking unto Jesus, for consider him. There are really perhaps the words in Ecclesiastes are could be said a commentary on the cloud of witnesses. And we read many things so true. Friends, we each of us know the reality of the truth, or should I say the witnesses of the truth. That the mourners go about the streets. Not long is it before that we are brought to look upon a hearse and those that follow. And we are reminded of the word of the Lord. The dust returns to the earth and the spirit. Doesn't matter what man thinks about it. He goes to his long home, or may we have that home above, sweetly prepared. The Lord speaks, doesn't he? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Are we amongst the strangers and pilgrims of the earth, in the earth? Friends, it's not the preacher that can make believers. But we need the Lord. Well, that's in our text, isn't it? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In some ways, I feel there are very sweet truths in this chapter. We consider the awful state of man and his mortality. But you know, there was no mortality in Christ. I believe that. Without sin and decay. Wonderfully set forth in the truth, a body hast thou prepared me. Some sweet knowledge of him who is after the power of an endless life. To know him is to know all. To be found in the cleft of the rock, friends, is to be found sheltered under his wing. Be amongst those that are sanctified and brought to know the dear Redeemer. Some may wonder at my comments, but friends, I believe we must touch on doctrine. The Father is set forth as the God of all flesh. The dear Redeemer. That body that was so prepared and into which he assumed is beautifully, wonderfully set forth as a creator. By him all things consist, and so does our faith. Oh, and the blessed Spirit. Because that's what I like to hear, those that pray to the Spirit. Oh, and how it is that heavenly work of the blessed Spirit of God to take the things of Jesus that we might consider him. And oh, how beautifully, if I may say, the word of God, I believe, sets forth that that body prepared was of the Spirit in all the... The suitability to save, to redeem, to bring poor sinners to glory through the merits of the Saviour and his dying love. And what do we know of him? Oh, truly, he is in all points tempted. He says, dear people, it sweetly sets it forth, doesn't it? But you know, he laid down his life that none could take away, that death could not take away. But there is a reality in this that he died when he cried, "It is finished." Sweet truth, isn't it? Nothing left undone. Well, have we got a faith like that? Needs the Lord from beginning to end, author and finisher, and to bring us through the merits of a dying Saviour, and yet he lives to glory at last. Well, those thoughts are in my heart, really. Consider him. But I want to dwell here for a moment, looking unto Jesus. It speaks of what this looking is. It's looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, there's so much that in it for poor faith, isn't it? Tried, little faith, the strengthening of faith, the increase of it, looking unto Jesus. And then I think of those that are so troubled about their beginnings, and they can't find any. They never will in themselves. But they're so troubled, they don't seem to have the marks or the experience of others. Friends, they may be tempted to give up and call no more in Jesus' name. Their prayers thought to be too poor. No faith in them, really. Or to be, friends, I want to gather up, as we've tried to come among you, friends, those that hardly know whether they are amongst that cloud of witnesses that are very tried about it. I was going to say they go to bed and get up in the morning in bondage and trouble in their souls. When will it be day? But what if my name's not in the Lamb's Book of Life? The tempter may say, well, it's a good gospel, but not for you. It's for those that God will bless well. I want to direct you to these three words here, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Well, it is set forth in the word, isn't it? It's looking, not meriting. It is not bringing our goodness. It is not, as I seem to come on my mind, it's not thinking we're merit because we plead the name of Jesus. Friends, the merit's his, isn't it? When that merit is known in the poor sinner's heart, what sweet believing there is, that he is able to do exceeding abundantly of all that we can ask or think, looking unto Jesus. It's a good word, but it needs single eye, and it needs an object. As faith must have a good object, a heavenly object, an object that is pleasing in God's sight. Well, the merits of Christ, how needful, how precious they are to poor sinners, and precious to the Father, that ever he should make known his dear beloved Son and look upon poor sinners and receive them in all their sin and woe as trophies of his grace. looking unto Jesus. And I think of the simplicity of it. I suppose today there are many modern ways of ploughing a field, but I think it's still you can see the straightness, can't you, of the plough and the where the plough's been, and that's what the Lord does. He leads poor sinners in the right way, straight way, narrow way, and they plough them up in their hearts, but you know, there's that looking right on, isn't there? Looking unto Jesus. The mark that is set before us. Friends, may we be able to see the mark. It may be a long way off, but sometimes we would seek grace to look again. Looking unto Jesus. We need the Lord to help us to do that. The hymn writer says, make your worst condition known. We do need faith. Perhaps there are those that are very tried and troubled, but the Lord can help them to look up. That's looking unto Jesus. Looking and pleading. So there's more in the word than just the look. It's the striving and the continuing and the pleading and hoping. Looking unto Jesus. And it is no easy thing. Friends, I find it the hardest thing to believe. And then, when the Lord comes, you know, it's liberty, isn't it? The Lord gives. It's looking unto, that glorious name, the person of the Lord Jesus. And that's what faith does. It looks unto Jesus. I think it's the eagle, isn't it, that can look right into the sun? Well, that's what faith does. Or it sees perhaps in the want of those things which fill the heart, but there is that looking. Looking unto Jesus. Perhaps we gather up some that may be very tried about it. And there's a finishing, isn't there? Some of those that are very tried about that. How will it be? Perhaps there are those that need the Lord. And fear his frown. Their sins are many. And their unbelief is the sin that doth so easily beset them. They're no better. But oh friends, they do look to the Lord to bring them through. To bring them from this poor dying world. It's full of emptiness compared with Christ to the object of their hope and faith and love. So there may be those that need the Lord to bring them to the end of their faith honourably and to be found amongst that cloud of witnesses looking unto Jesus. The author and finisher of our faith. And then there is the, perhaps the experimental part of it, if we may say, or the person. Consider him, the Son of God, the glorious person of a Saviour. Why, friends, in the Gospel, we are, and dear, the dear Apostle was so well taught, wasn't he? He was looking at one time to himself. The Lord met him and he was found looking unto Jesus and preaching him too. And oh, it was himself. Since there was deep repentance in his heart, that there was that going out unto him, that need to be led and directed. But friends, he was well qualified among the Jews, wasn't he? But the Spirit of God qualified him to preach Christ. Oh, how sweetly did he lift him up. Christ had met with him, spoke to him himself. Friends, we do need a real religion, not a borrowed one. The Lord met with the apostle. Friends, his heart then was changed, and that he was led, wasn't he, to especially distinguish between law and gospel by experience. You find he labours much in that sweet doctrine of Christ and him crucified. It's as if the dear man found the sweetness, I'm going to say the honey, the name and the person himself. Oh, was so precious to him. I was thinking today of those words, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined, I was thinking about that word, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I wondered if it was the text. What a sweet determination. But oh friends, his soul was brought to dwell and to live upon the finished work of Christ upon Calvary's tree. And the blessings that flow from that solemn setting forth of the Saviour in the place and room of poor sinners, his church, that they might even look unto him. It gets low, doesn't it? Ever one poor sinner should be found looking unto him, it's through the merits, the death, the suffering, resurrection and intercession of Christ. Do you believe that? Well, I hope none will contradict me. Friends, it does need a mighty Saviour to be the author of our faith. And there are some, I believe, that know it so well. It doesn't need the minister to say it. They know it, and they're glad to hear it. Well, and that is how it seems to come to me a little Oh, this considering him is perhaps that leading on and that directing the eye of faith into the glories of Emmanuel, the sufficiency of Christ for poor sinners. Friends, I believe we have to stand for these things. It's not just we do need the Lord to grant us help through the work of an evangelist. There's a setting forth of the truth as it is in Christ for poor, guilty sinners that builds them up by God's grace upon their faith. And that there's an establishing and a setting down of sinners by his grace that causes them to take root downwards and bear fruit upward. And just in a few things, I think the words here speak so very much of this looking unto Jesus in a profound and blessed way. To the eye of faith, consider him. I was thinking today of the places where we read of himself. Himself took our sins and our infirmities. Oh, himself. That's a beautiful word in Ephesians. Where is that setting forth of the excellence of the Lord Jesus in that chapter, the first chapter into the second chapter? So much of Christ, but consider him. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now, it goes on to say in the second chapter, in considering him, and that it's a wonderful chapter, and he closes it by saying, "Now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, with the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." So there is a beautiful setting forth here of that one that is able and that one that is exalted. In looking unto Jesus, may we be able to consider him. And that, of course, there are other ways, but I want to come to this consideration. For consider him. Oh, it is that sweetest work of faith, isn't it? But consider him. Perhaps experimentally, it is when the dear Lord is brought to our poor hearts by the Spirit. What enlargement! What a setting forth there is of his excellence. You know, there's a wonderful time in the life of a child of God. It's called the day of their espousal. Mm-hmm. When the love of God expands their hearts, how they consider him. Unto you, therefore, which believe he is precious. Remember one time in my life that filled my heart and I was able to follow him. And that is how it seemed to me, especially thinking upon his preciousness. For consider him to you. May the Lord apply it, that believe by faith he is precious. And then it is because those merits are put to our sinnership and our guilt, so that the Lord is pleased to take that bondage away of sin and guilt. Want the peace of God through the blood of Jesus. And that truth of his love is known in the heart. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. But it's a test, isn't it? Let me just put it like this. What think ye of Christ? That's the test. Consider him. Are we able to say anything of the way the Lord has intervened, stopped up our mad career? I was mad on sport, terribly taken up with it. And then the Lord touched my heart, friends, and gave me a little of the love of Christ. I didn't want it. Not say we're without sin, but it's the increase of his love. Some of you know what I mean. Oh, how it brings you to love him and to love his ways, his truth, his day, his word, his servant. But friends, it's something that God imparts. And it's all in Christ. For consider him. Greater love hath no man than this. The man lay down his life for his friends. But we think of the word it is. Through a glass darkly. The hymn writer takes it up. What a riddle is my soul. Really, that's the meaning of those words. We see through a glass darkly. It seems to be so obscure. Sometimes we fail to need the Lord to begin again. Now, consider him. Let me put it like this, friends. It's when the Lord brings, and that's where I stand upon, when the Lord brings his gospel. When the blessed Spirit takes of the things of Jesus. And our hearts are like the chariot of Aminadab. They're going forth unto him without the camp. And there's that sweet knowledge it is the Lord with those disciples. And there's a sweet hope that the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. And grant those answers of peace. And considering him, we're able to plead that name. Not in an abstract way, friends. It's because there is that knowledge of his worth and merit. And the blessed Spirit bring the sinners to hang upon him, as it were, and to wait around, the hymn writer speaks, wait around the tomb to see him rise with power to save. Well, we do need the vital power of his resurrection. And that's a beautiful thing to consider, isn't it? Laid in that tomb, Oh, so many of that household of faith written upon his heart, all poor sinners. And friends, he rose triumphant over sin and death, and that number that no man can number rose with him. But a hope should be left behind, using the word rightly. Friends, the Lord is risen. What gladness it brought, didn't it? To those hearts were full of fear. We trusted it had been he. The Lord's people get into some very low places sometimes. What's the remedy? Blessed Spirit, to cause us and help us and to bring us to consider him. Oh, the worth and merit of the Lord exceeding all other. And then there's something else, the greatness and the blessedness of him, himself. And I want to look at it in his goodness. Do we not need the Lord to help us to consider him? The Lord has done great things here and in our own little short lives. Do we need the Lord to help us consider him? Nor let his mercies lie forgotten in unthankfulness, without praises die. I was thinking of a man, I didn't really agree with the preacher, speaking about a poor woman that many years ago, she was so tried and troubled. And the minister, he wasn't quite on our lines, but he said, well, she'd have been better off praising and singing her way to glory. Friends, it's not considering him, is it? Ah, to meet the case of the poor and needy, those that have no helper. For his rich grace, for the Lord to come, to lift us up, to bring us on our way, and to grant some sweet knowledge and experience of the truth in our souls. And then there's his goodness surrounding it, friends, in all his kind providence. Consider him. You know, the Lord doesn't take his dear people home to glory and leave them without here below, does he? My God shall provide, supply all your need, according to his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. Consider him. If only I could really set it forth, friends. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. They that dwell therein, they're his people. Friends, God will not leave them short. One time we were very, very poor. The Lord gave enough money to bury my wife. But, you know, I had such a blessed time, I shall never forget. Can't speak about it. Put it all right in a moment. We'll consider him. And there's one beautiful word, isn't there? Belonging to him. For my the sufficiency of grace. My grace is sufficient for thee. Made perfect in weakness. All sufficient. In providence and in grace. Jesus, my all to heaven is gone, we sing. when were I able to consider him? Oh, it needs the Lord, doesn't it? Friends, I stand on the need the Lord to bring his sweet truth to guilty, ruined rebels. I would hate him left for a moment, but they're brought to consider him. And they are brought to follow on to know the Lord, but the Lord will straighten them out. The Lord will bring them, friends, in ways they have not known. And they have to walk that humble way. Not so easy to follow on, is it? Considering it here brings me to the word here a little further. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Endured. Him speaks of it. What he endured, no tongue can tell. Save our souls from sin and hell. Now these things need to be spoken very reverently. Friends, it is as the Lord brings us to consider him that there is a sweetness in the cup, a little knowledge of his love, and that balancings of the clouds. They feared as they entered into the cloud. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, that ye be wearied and faint in your minds. I want to look at it especially with regard to these sinners. They are sinners, friends, called by grace, that I want to speak of. Sinners sought out, not left. They're brought back. They're brought they're chastened. It's in the chapter. Nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now these sinners, of course, we must notice that he was treated so badly and crucified, but really, friends, it was the sins of his church, his people, their guilt, that brought him and nailed him to the cross of wood. Those are the sinners I believe we must mention here. These contradiction of sinners against himself. These that were rebels. Still are. The hymn writer speaks of it like this. Rebellious thou hast been and art rebellious still. Since in love I took thee in. My promise I'll fulfill. Endured such contradiction of sinners. You see, friends, if this is put to our poor lot, our guilt and sin, it will be removed. That there will be a sweet knowledge of the wondrous grace of God, but it needs to be put to it. I want to be able to clear. It's only God, friends, that can do it. But we preach man's fallen, lost, ruined condition. It needs God to convince of sin. Not a persuasion of man. that will leave a man short of a real knowledge of sin. We need the Lord to teach us the malady and the remedy. I want to come a little further. Against himself. Well, we've been like that, haven't we? Against himself, I'll not go this way. And then the Lord breaks down the walls of Jericho. It goes round and round, doesn't it? They fall flat. There's a going, the way of his commandments. Are there any exercised about it? I hope so, I know not. Oh, it needs the Lord, doesn't it, to break down those great walls and to bring his sweet liberty and come into the prison house and to break down all our hardness and unbelief. And then the Lord grants willing feet to run the way of his commandments, considering him. It does need the Lord, doesn't it, to be made known and to be revealed. Now some may say, well, you cut me off. No, friends. Something to pray for. Something to ask the Lord for, that I may know him, said the great apostle. The Lord can teach poor sinners. Indeed, the blessed Spirit is able to teach. We read, none teaches like him. Endured the cross, despising the shame. Endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. And of course, we touch upon the practical, the word is so needful, isn't it? Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Oh, here is the hard cross, the hard way, isn't it? And the trials and difficulties, sorrows too, contradictions. They may be known very near at heart. Things to walk in and wonder what we'll hear next. Or there may be some great trouble that seems to contradict all the Lord's love and his dealings and all that he's said and we've hoped for, and it seems a contradiction. Well, friends, in God's sight, there's no contradiction. It's us that need wisdom and grace to consider him. Jesus himself knew what he would do. Against himself. Now, we do need to be right about this. I was thinking of one that kissed the Saviour in that sacred garden and betrayed him with a kiss. All to see that he was one of the disciples and yet to betray him. Friends, a contradiction, solemn contradiction. No faith in his heart. Friends, he was lost and soon that solemn character was no more. But there are things which are very hard, and we need to keep to his word. I was thinking of one solemn part, I won't touch upon it above this, that there were two godly men, Paul and Barnabas. Sadly, friends, they were separated in that dreadful conflict. It must have grieved the apostle at least. But I pass on. There were things, there are contradictions. Why has the Lord allowed this and that? Friends, to try our faith, to bring us to consider him. His way was much rougher, darker than mine. Christ, my Lord, suffer and shall I repine. Now that's often repeated, but we do need more than just a stamp to put it to our account. Perhaps we must just come very quickly, lest you be weary and faint in your mind. Well, the Lord sometimes, I think there's a hymn, the Lord may afflict the mind. In those infirmities that we read of in Ecclesiastes. He said, we've got the grace of God in our hearts, whatever becomes, whatever betide. And of course, there are the labours and the burdens, the concerns. Sometimes you go to bed with something, wake up, and it's a burden, a concern. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Friends, don't throw the book away. In spirit, may the Lord guide and direct us. I believe the Lord can reveal in his word. His way and truth, but we need to be very clear about it. That which is contrary to the scriptures, we must turn aside from. That we must cleave to the word. For consider him, endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. Well, lastly, it's a good word, isn't it? That the Lord remembers those that are tried in their hearts, their minds, as well as their bodies perhaps. Things which are pressed, things which are hard to bear, hard to think upon. Like Jehoshaphat when he said, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee, for consider him. Well, I must leave a few remarks, it seems, rather broken, looking unto Jesus. For consider him, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. The Lord forgive all amiss. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Henry Mercer will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Sayers on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 980. When sins and fears prevailing rise and fainting hope almost expires, Jesus, to thee I lift my eyes. To thee I breathe my soul's desires. Hymn 980.
Thank you.
Oh Lord, do forgive all spoken amiss. Remember us in every burden and care. Bless thy word to our hearts. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.